Got a little bone to pick with the programming department. Would it kill you every once in a while to play a little Fog Hat?
Listening to? This is a family show, Sean.
It's Fog Hat.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Well, I know what it is, but what is it?
Well, if you have a family, most people know that it takes love to make a baby.
Oh! Okay. And oh, thanks. I didn't realize that.
That's all you need is love, and then a baby happens.
Well, I love all of our listeners, so expect a huge baby boom in the Northwest in 9 months. All right, steamrolling into our final hour of the broadcast week. Happy to say we're not getting preempted by any press conferences today, so we'll have our awesome audio of the week next half hour. We'll play clips of the explosive, controversial interview we had with Tim Iommen earlier. And then, Sean, a request. We haven't done this for over a month now. I keep track. Can I get a little Cascade with my dead mouse today?
Oh, yeah. You'd like some dead mouse with a side of Cascade.
Exactly. Thank you.
Sure.
That would be fantastic. Okay.
Or maybe some Cascade with a side of dead mouse. Either way, it's a winning combo.
Either way, yeah. But don't forget now. That's what Dory wants.
All right, Dory. Whatever Dory wants, Dory gets.
Amen, the way the world should.
Nobody puts Dory in the corner.
Jimmy was making a lot of shots today. Okay, I did want to address one thing, because starting with whenever it was posted and announced yesterday afternoon, and then into last night, overnight this morning, I have been flooded with emails, and I don't have any answers for you yet, because I haven't had a chance to talk to anybody in management. But it is a big business decision. My Northwest yesterday announced that they are going to suspend all reader comments on all stories. And as I said, I truly have not had a chance to talk to anybody in management. My reaction is, I got a bunch of them, but I also want to represent what I'm hearing from all of you too. First reaction, Bonneville is a company that is values oriented and based. I mean, that's at the core of what they do. And the comments have gotten really ugly and at times childish, and there's just a lot of name calling. My solution to that is I don't read them, because I probably am the target of more vitriol over the years than anybody in there. And I don't care, because whenever somebody sends something that is, you know, really ridiculous in my view, that doesn't say one thing about me, who they're targeting, and it says everything about them. And my solution to it is, if I don't like it, and I generally don't, I just don't look at the comments. But at times there are things that are very helpful and productive that I follow up on, that I see in the comments. And the Seattle Times has dropped comments from 90% of its stories for the same reason. And media companies have gotten, you know, like every industry in America, these are really challenging economic times. And if we had the manpower to just hire one or two people to sit and moderate comments and delete all the ones that are off topic and just about name calling and all of that, we would do it. We can't do that. We simply don't have any fat on the bone to hire people. You know, we're in a hiring phase. And so knowing the values of the company, which they are constantly expressing to us, I understand that when things get as ugly and as I said, childish, where it just devolves into name calling and nothing productive. I can handle that. And I never have ever closed comments on any of my stories because I simply don't care. But I also don't own the business. And the business is free to operate any way that is consistent with their stated values. And they're very consistent about that. So I don't have a big problem with it simply because it's not my company. Now, having said that, what I've been hearing from I think I've gotten more emails in the last 18 hours on this than any single topic. And you know, because people don't email a lot anymore. They, you know, will tweet me, they'll send me text messages during the show, all of that. But the overwhelming opinion that I've been hearing from the listeners who've been reaching out to me is that the viewpoint of people who tend to be more conservative was somewhat dominant in the comments. So not exclusive, you know, I don't know if it was 60-40 or 70-30 or whatever. And they feel that they are being silenced. And I also understand that. And I'm really not trying to be wishy-washy here, because what I've started thinking about is what are other ways that I can gather, collate, present, share, allow people on, you know, any other platform or anything else I'm part of. And I'm thinking hard about that because I know more and more the people who, you know, do not have a rather extreme liberal view, you are feeling squeezed by this. And I will have talks when I finally chat with people in control. I didn't know about it until it was announced. So I had no heads up on it, and they didn't owe me a heads up either. So it had gotten really ugly and childish. The company simply didn't want that. Was politics any part in the decision? I have no idea. I will try to find out. But I also am hearing loud and clear from you who have reached out to me that you are disappointed because you're feeling squeezed on places to have a voice. And I am thinking really hard and long and strategically about how to help fill that void too. So more to come. I'll try to find out more, but I wanted to address it on the air. I know the people at My Northwest talked about it on the station last night too. So that's my perspective on it. And I'll try to find out more for you. And I want to be responsive to the concerns that our listeners have too. So more to come on that one. Okay. A couple other things that I have to touch on before or if I get to the big lead. We told you yesterday about New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees, who just took tremendous fire because he was asked, what if the kneeling for the national anthem protests come back when the NFL resumes? And Drew Brees, a couple of days ago, said this.
I will never agree with anybody disrespecting the flag of the United States of America or our country. Let me just tell you what I see or what I feel when the national anthem is played and when I look at the flag of the United States. I envision my two grandfathers who fought for this country during World War II, one in the Army and one in the Marine Corps, both risking their lives to protect our country and to try to make our country and this world a better place.
So because of his family's military service, he said, I don't agree. And he perceives the kneeling as disrespecting the flag. And I know the people who are kneeling disagree with Drew Brees on that. And I thought America was supposed to be about you can disagree with people on stuff. But you can't anymore in America. And that's what's scaring me right now. The night Drew Brees did that interview, there were people in the streets of New Orleans chanting, bleep Drew Brees, bleep Drew Brees. And this is a guy who's done so much for that city, has been so active philanthropically, has donated tens of millions of dollars. He's traveled with the USO. He just donated $5 million to help those affected by the economic impact of coronavirus in the New Orleans area. And now all of a sudden, because he says he disagrees with somebody, he is hated. Well, in America today, you must kneel if somebody disagrees with you. Drew Brees issued a written apology for saying what you just heard. He then, last night, had to post a verbal apology.
I know there's not much that I can say that would make things any better right now, but I just want you to see in my eyes how sorry I am for the comments that I made yesterday. I know that it hurt many people, especially friends, teammates, former teammates, loved ones, people that I care and respect deeply. That was never my intention.
Of course it wasn't his intention. That's not in his heart. Everybody who knows him says he's just a great man with a great heart. But he said something that people disagree with, and he has to apologize for it. And that's a pretty sick state of affairs in America. If you have to apologize for disagreeing with anybody on an issue, and he didn't say, I don't think you should be allowed to kneel. He didn't say that. He just said, I disagree with you if you kneel. Just as those people disagree with Drew Brees when he stands, and they're free to do that. The kneelers disagree with those who stand, and that's their freedom to do so. But we can't even express dissenting opinions in America right now. And that's what's crazy. I'll give you another example. I played this one yesterday, but it bears repeating. In Washington, D.C., some graffiti looter rioter types. I don't know if they were looter rioter types. But there's a lot of graffiti around Washington, D.C. It was property damage types, I should say. And they, on in historic federal building, they had spray-painted Black Lives Matter on this old federal building. And three of the women who work there, they were asked, we don't allow graffiti on our building that says anything. Will you go clean the graffiti? And a passerby shamed the three women, who were all white. A passerby shamed them because they were cleaning graffiti off a building.
Why are you guys removing Black Lives Matter's graffiti?
We're just trying to take care of it.
Yeah, we tried over there and it wasn't coming off. It's still one of those coming off.
But why do you want that to come off?
Well, it's the federal building.
Yeah, it's just the vandals.
But so you don't care about Black Lives then?
Not at all. That's not at all what we're saying.
That's what this...
We certainly do care about Black Lives.
Not enough to leave up a message.
We don't disagree with the message, ma'am. It's just on the building. We're just trying to clean it.
Great. Not a great way to use your white privilege, ladies. Not a great. That's disgusting.
Disgusting because they're cleaning graffiti off a federal building. And one of the young women even said, we don't disagree with the message, ma'am. We're just cleaning graffiti. And they're shamed for that. I have not played this audio. I told you about it yesterday. This was a woman. She looks like she's probably in her 30s. She's walking out of a building, and a guy who's with Black Lives Matter does this to her.
I work for Black Lives Matter. I'm sorry that I scared you.
Okay.
But since I work for that company, my CEO has told me to come out today and to bring you on your knees because you have white privilege. So if they see that a white person is getting on their knees, that shows solidarity for the situation. The situation. And could you just please apologize for, you know, for your white privilege?
And so this young woman, she gets down on her knees on the sidewalk, and she doesn't start apologizing fast enough, so she's kind of hustled along.
Just apologize?
I am. I'm trying to think of the right words to say, because that's a big thing to say.
It's big.
It comes from...
It's large in this country.
I'm incredibly sorry.
I'm incredibly sorry. We're forcing people to kneel in the streets. We're shaming people for cleaning graffiti off buildings. And as I said on my show yesterday, I will kneel in church before my God. I'm not going to kneel for any man and before any man. But there is a prevalent trend in America that if you do not think exactly like what is being expressed, not only on the streets, but in 90% of the media, you are expected to kneel and show contrition because your mind ain't right. And I've got one more story to share with you. In Philadelphia, the day after the horrible rioting and the violence in the streets and the property destruction, a restaurant in Philadelphia said, hey, if you're a cop, come on in. We'll give you free lunch and a beverage. What do you think happened to that restaurant?
On Monday, we told you DeBruno Brothers was one of very few businesses open here on Chestnut Street in Rittenhouse Square after the looting that took place over the weekend. And as a thank you to police, it offered on-duty officers free lunch. But social media outrage followed, and then employees threatened to not show up to work Friday in solidarity with protesters. So today, DeBruno Brothers changed course and issued...
Okay, I got to stop. So they offered free lunch to cops who had been working their butts off for the people of the city. And there was social media outrage, and employees said they weren't going to come to
the letter. It reads in part, the decision to offer police free lunch was made in haste after a night of destruction and looting. It was insensitive, and we sincerely apologize.
How disgusting is that? So the restaurant that did something really nice for cops issued an apology saying that the free lunch for cops was insensitive, and they apologized for it. They had to kneel. They had to change their minds because the mob demands it.
The sign was removed. The policy is revoked. We stand in solidarity with the peaceful protesters against racism, injustice, and the senseless violence against people of color. Meantime, Philadelphia's police union today instructed officers to now boycott DeBruno Brothers.
They turn around and they pull the plug on everything. I mean, they take it out on all the cops in Philadelphia. It's an absolute disgrace.
It is a disgrace. But the forced kneeling and contrition for thought in America is disgraceful. You can be supportive of people of color and the messages they've been expressing at the protest. And you can also be supportive of cops. But in America today, if you're supportive of cops, you are public enemy number one. I hope that restaurant, it's been around a long, long time in Philly. I hope that restaurant folds. I hope they go under. Not because they have to think like me, but because showing that level of weakness is a dangerous, dangerous thing for America and for Americans. I will kneel for my God. And that's the extent of my list. And that is the big lead this hour. Okay, we're going to check
the big lead on Cairo Radio.
Nice job, Sean DeTore. Check the news for you, and then one of my most controversial interviews where my listeners were furious with me. Play a couple of clips of that coming up right after the news here on the Dory Monk. Half hour. The bar broadcast week. What a week it's been, man. What a week. And even though so many of you were angry at me a couple of hours ago, I still love you. You can say whatever you want. You've built up so much equity with me. So the reason why so many people were ticked off at me was because I was angry at Tim Iman. See, yesterday, Tim Iman wants to be your next governor. He used an analogy for the state that I thought was sickening. And what I've heard from the unemployed, I've heard from business owners since I did this interview, and overwhelmingly people have said, no, Iman was right, you're wrong, Dory. And my point is, I've been fighting for the unemployed and the business owners the last 2.5 months. I've been exposing how Data Daddy hasn't been using any reliable data at all for the snuffing out of our local economy and over 1 million jobs. I've been talking about that. I would never bring a national tragedy that is connected to cities across America, including Seattle and Bellevue and others around here, that is connected to cities burning. I would never try to connect them. I can hate what happened to George Floyd, and I can hate what the governor's doing to our state, but I would not try to connect those. I think it's dangerous. I think it's stupid when the national tragedy has created so much angst and destruction this week. But here's what Iman said that ticked me off.
I mean, it's agonizing to sit through because you're watching something that you should never have to see, where after 5 minutes of it, he goes 3 more minutes when the guy wasn't even moving anymore, and they kept that knee on the back of the neck. And I can't help but look at that same situation and not visualizing Jay Inslee with his knee on the back of the necks of 7 million people in the state of Washington. Actually, I take that back. Only the people that Jay Inslee says are non-essential does he have the knee on the back of the necks of those people. He's saying that private businesses, small businesses, all of you, I'm going to put my knee on the back of your neck and I'm going to hold you down. That is exactly what's going on right now.
Okay. I thought that was unbelievably tone-deaf analogy. And like I said, I just think that serves no purpose. There's plenty to criticize Jay Inslee about just based on what Jay Inslee has done and bringing that in. But look, here's what I found out. Most of you who contacted me right after the interview or during the interview, you agreed with Iman. You said, no, we do feel that way. And that's cool. You know, that's what I love that we disagree on stuff occasionally, or maybe with some of you, 99% of the time. So anyway, I had Iman on, and I told him exactly how I felt about his comments. I'm serious, Tim. That's one of the stupidest things I've ever heard.
Hey, I think if you heard the same kind of pain, kind of misery
that
Jay Inslee
every day
inflicted. Forgive me, Dory, if you want to have a conversation with yourself, go ahead. But if you want to have somebody on that's actually going to answer, please don't interrupt.
No, I've heard those stories.
Point. Here's the problem. You can't quantify all the pain and suffering that's going on because Jay Inslee is making the determination for 7 million people how they're going to live their lives. And if it was everybody, it'd be one thing. But instead, he's made determinations over who is non-essential.
I know,
and those non-essential people are dying.
They have just
as much right to the compassion that we feel rightly for George Floyd. That injustice that we feel, why can't we feel that same injustice for people that are dying in the state of Washington?
Okay. And I just said, I think I've been criticizing Inslee's approach for months, but connecting that to a national tragedy, I find wrong. Do you really think that this helps your gubernatorial campaign when personal likability is what is absolutely essential if you want people to vote for you?
I think it's critically important for anybody who's running for office. is to represent people that don't have a voice. Right now, the people who are dying in the state of Washington from suicide, from lack of medical attention because Jay Inslee said that they're not essential, they deserve just as much of a voice. But they're not getting it right now because the media is so obsessed with COVID, only listening to what Jay Inslee says to them. And Jay Inslee says that every single non-essential person is heartless and selfish if they're only looking out for themselves when all they're trying to do is survive and be able to actually be treated the same as all the essential people are. I would just simply argue that there's a lot of people in the media that aren't have been designated essential that have lost track of the fact that if you are a non-essential person right now, you feel voiceless, and at least there's somebody saying, let's pay attention to those people too.
And, you know, my point is I'm the one who's been fighting for the voiceless, for the unemployed, for the business owners amidst all the madness, you know, around here. But then I still think that he just hurt himself. Do you think that trying to drag
the
George Floyd story into this helps your likability as you try to get people to vote for you?
I honestly believe we're not going to make it to November for there to even be an election for a lot of people. And people need help right now.
You're
That's one of the reasons
question.
Why we're in. So, Luke, I am exactly listening to your question.
I asked, what is do you higher think priority? This helps your likability?
What is a higher priority to you? Whether or not people like me or whether or not people open Washington now, are you madder at Jay Inslee for what he's done or for what I've said? He's actually destroying lives right now, and you seem to be more upset by something I said than what he's doing right now.
I can be mad about both.
Who are actually dying, Dory.
I can be mad about both, Tim. I can be angry about what that cop did. I can be angry what Inslee's doing. I can be angry by what you said. But for you to drag that, and you still haven't answered my question. You asked for a question. Do you think with the people of Washington that it helps your likability to compare Jay Inslee to a Minneapolis cop who's going to be on trial for second-degree murder? Do you think that helps your likability?
I've spent 22 years fighting for issues and not worrying about whether or not people like me or not. And voters are going to decide based on my ideas. And the idea of people being afraid to criticize the governor, people being afraid to speak up. You said you can be equally angry with me. What's wrong with me saying we can be equally burning in anger and frustration with what happened to the man in Minneapolis? But can't we feel that same anger and frustration for Jay Inslee saying that people are heartless and selfish if they simply try and stand up
and
for themselves?
I do feel that anger on
it's
both
counts.
It's
not about you, Dory.
But
it's
I'm not going to compare the two. I'm not going to compare what Jay Inslee is doing to the state to a Minneapolis cop.
It's not about you. It's about whether or not there are people out there that feel voiceless right now. They're suffering right now. And the cameras are not on them. They're on this. And it's an insane tragedy what's going on here. There's also tragedies going on in the state of Washington.
If you want to hear the entire interview, check out the First Hour podcast after we get off the air today. We link it up on the Dory Monson Show page at mynorthwest.com. All right. And thank you for all the feedback. Really do appreciate it. And you can disagree with me on this all you want. I still love you. Going to take a quick time out. And then our awesome audio of the entire week. Coming up next. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. What a week. So, Nicole, you just texted me about some picture on Facebook. What is the picture you saw on Facebook? I don't know anything about this.
Well, a listener, Stephanie, just sent this to us this week. I missed it, but apparently on Friday of last week, there was a plane flying around with a banner that said Dory Monson for governor. And I had heard nothing about this.
Paul Moyer saw it and took a real fuzzy picture. But Paul told me about that last weekend. I have no idea who's doing it. A plane with it just says Dory Monson for governor. I have no clue who is doing it. They haven't told me. They didn't tell me they were going to do it, whoever it is. But that's really sweet. The filing date has passed, so it's going to have to be 24, I think, if I still am around.
I want to know who did this. And if you see it, make sure you send it to us because we had no idea.
Yeah, if you have a clear picture of it, that was fun, though. That was very sweet. So thank you to whoever's doing that. Okay, with that as a mere prelude, let's count down our favorite sound bites of the week.
This is Dory Monson's Awesome Audio Clips of the Week.
Okay, number three, Joe Biden. He wants to be your next president. And you remember when Hillary said most of America, 47% of Americans are deplorables? Well, I guess we're getting better in the minds of Democrats because Joe Biden has downgraded the percentage, apparently.
Number three.
Do we want our kids? Do we really think this is as good as we can be as a nation? I don't think the vast majority of people think that. There are probably anywhere from 10 to 15% of the people out there who are just not very good people. But that's not who we are.
No, only 15% of Americans are bad people now. And by the way, Joe Biden says that America is not where it should be. Joe, you got to scream for Joe because he's not very aware of certain situations these days. Joe, you were vice president for 8 years. You were senator for 36 before that. Why didn't you already fix America? And you're going to do it now in your 80s? Right. Then you have Donald Trump. And if he's voted out of office, he gave a tip this morning as to how he might spend his retirement.
Number two.
People are traveling. And you know what? They're traveling in the United States. And they're also driving. And they're building the trailers. They're building a lot of things. They're driving. People are driving. I may have to buy one of those things, drive around town. Maybe I'll drive back to New York with our first lady in a trailer. What do they call that?
An RV.
Well, you should know Indiana's the capital of RVs. I think I'm going to buy an RV and travel for an hour in an RV with our first lady. I don't think anybody would mind that.
What do they call those things? And then at number one, when we had so much violence in Seattle and Bellevue last weekend, there were threats made against Snohomish. A bunch of armed citizens went down to protect the downtown. In Kirkland, the same thing. A guy named Jed with his AR-15. A reporter from Q13 asked him if his gun might increase the problem.
I heard that there was going to be a protest here. I saw what happened in Bellevue.
Are you worried at all that you may escalate the violence by having a rifle around your shoulder?
That is an interesting question. Only somebody that doesn't understand guns will say that. How is this escalating the situation? This is de-escalation. If I had a name for this gun, it would be de-escalator.
His gun is the de-escalator. That is it for the week. Tom and Curly are coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I'll see you Monday at high noon. Take care.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.